I'm Richard Antoine, Executive Director of InterpreterEd.com. I recently had the opportunity to talk with Seamus Syed, the COO of Interpreters Unlimited, based in San Diego, California. Interpreters Unlimited, or IU as they are more commonly known, primarily provides in-person interpreting services in several states across the U.S. and also offers translation, over-the-phone, and video remote interpreting. What's especially unique about Mr. Syed is not that he runs the day-to-day operations of one of the country's largest LSPs, but that he's running for Congress, and we thought you'd like to hear some of his thoughts. Our discussion covered many topics, including independent contractor regulations, government purchasing agencies, and a trend that concerns many linguists in the U.S., offshoring. He also has thoughts on how linguists can make their own individual practices more successful. As our conversation started off, we were talking about the results of a study we conducted last year titled The Professional Linguist Perspective on Independent Contracting. You can get a copy of the study at InterpreterEd.com. Because of the length of the interview, we'll be publishing the conversation in two parts. Here's the first half. You understand that InterpreterEd conducted a study last year to better understand the perspective of professional linguists on independent contractor laws, and the idea that linguists, all linguists, both translators and interpreters, be classified or required to work as employees. What are your thoughts on this issue, and what do you see as the future?
Interpreters are truly independent contractors. As your study shared, they themselves regard themselves as small businesses. They don't want to be employees. And that's very much aligned with what the industry is and how we run our company. As one of my major platform points in the campaign is advocating for small businesses. There's a major gap between, you know, the individual and the large company. And there's that whole space in between. So small businesses are whom we provide services, who we request services from, and who we very much are ourselves.
What do you think is driving the interest in independent contractor laws, and what do you see happening in the future?
Well, it's no secret that there's definitely been an emphasis placed from the federal level down to the state level to have that discussion of classification.
Seamus went on to add that California provides clear exceptions.
Want to see their share
mail care professionals
revenue.
And real estate agents, for example.
When they look at companies like us and some of our colleagues right here in the industry space that have 500,000, 5,000, 10,000 independently contracted linguists, whether they're translators and interpreters, there's that big question mark that's followed by a dollar sign in the eyes of the regulators and the lawmakers. So that is really the driving factor behind it.
Seamus went on to add that California provides clear exceptions, nail care professionals and real estate agents, for example.
Something very similar happened to the real estate industry when it came to real estate agents. You know, are they independent contractors or are they not? My wife is a real estate agent. She is working under a broker, but she's very clear, crystal clear, at about 101 places that she is an independent contractor. Linguists can work for multiple companies at any given point and be contracted with multiple companies and take jobs and decline jobs from multiple companies. They rate, they dictate their pay. All of this is so much more looser in the terms of a linguist and what they dictate, even less so than that of real estate professionals. So real estate professionals, it's cut and dry. They're independent contractors.
Now, I think up in Oregon, there's been some legislation that distinguishes linguists, professional linguists, as independent contractors, and it's almost like a state guarantee. Is that my understanding correct?
That is correct. Okay. That is correct. And in California, it's not that whole lot different. In the sense that we can make a very similar change at that level. It's not a matter of introducing a whole 100-page legislation. It's simply taking one particular state law and drill down four subsections, and then in the fifth subsection, simply adding interpreters and translators. Because there's already, and it's the same section that talks about real estate agents and nail professionals and so forth. So you just have to add that next line bullet point or subletter D as interpreters and translators. And that's all we need. It's a matter of adding one sentence, if that, or maybe even a fragment, to an existing piece of legislation.
What's happening in other states?
Well, California is getting a ton of attention, the most attention than others. The other states that we are in, the attention or the focus isn't quite there, number one. Number two, because of what we've learned here in California, we have taken additional steps in other states to ensure we are not only close to that line, but we are as far away as we could possibly be from it.
What do you think is, what do you see as the future for professional translators and interpreters? I think that there's been a lot of discussion in the industry that a lot of work is shifting offshore. What's your perspective on that? What do you see happening in the future?
My humble opinion, I don't see the linguist, the on-site interpretation field, which is where we have played the largest place in. That's where, we're very blessed to be one of the most sizable in the on-site space. I just don't see that being outsourced, outside of the country. You can't. We pride ourselves in having qualified local resources within miles of our clients. By virtue of our business model, that going offshore, I don't really see that. Now, when we talk about it from the translation side, I personally feel that having an offshore linguist doesn't necessarily mean that there's that you're doing it because it's a lower price or potentially sacrificing quality. I look at it as what is the most appropriate for that very project. Are we going from English to X or X to English? I'm likely to work with a translator in country if it's going from X to English, and then finding the most appropriate proofer, whether it's on or offshore. But now we're going into a whole different discussion of from a process side. But again, even from my side, I don't see the on-site part going offshore and that change that affecting our business model, number one. And then from a translation side, it is what's best suited for the client as it pertains to quality, not necessarily price.
Are you seeing cost pressures on the linguists?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think is driving that, and what would you suggest for a linguist who wants to improve their standard of living, improve their income?
Well, as you know, that I can't say what they should be priced at in any capacity, but there's a balance. There's a balance that when you look at where the contracts are coming from and the contracts that companies like ours are winning and earning from in the publics and the, in the municipal, in the state government sector, whether it's state, city, county, municipalities, even federal for that matter, it is always done at the lowest responsible bidder. Or it's in an RFP format where 60% or greater than 50% is determined by the decision of who gets awarded based on price. So I feel that linguists need to understand, as a company like ours are out offering assignments, where our cost pressures are. And if they can find that happy medium, that look, as an independent contractor, as a small business, we too need to make a living. Do we take a job and get paid for the sake of using a gross number for the purpose of the example? Do I take a job at $10 an hour? Or do I hold my guns at $35 an hour? And again, I can't dictate one or the other, but it's up to them to find that happy medium. Do I stay available for 2 hours at $35 an hour? Or do I take two jobs at $15 an hour? So it's trying to find that happy medium. I can appreciate and respect the want to keep the rate that you want. Again, that's 100% up to the linguist. But if you take a look at the companies that are offering these assignments, again, we provide value to the interpreter. We provide value to the client. So to find that happy medium from what they would want to charge a company like ours, combined with what we are billing our client, and trying to find that happy medium. And if a linguist understands where that is, it could definitely be very beneficial. Again, we have interpreters that have said that, look, we are raising our price from $25 an hour to $45 an hour, which is great. Good for you. But on the same token, is that time that you're not being occupied at $45 an hour more valuable to you than the time you would be occupied at $25 an hour?
So really it's a question of how do you maximize your income by being busy all the time?
Correct.
Now let's go back to the cost pressures in offshore linguists. You mentioned the on-site space. You don't see it going away. But how about video remote interpreting, where basically through telepresence, an interpreter from anywhere can be available anywhere? How does that affect the cost pressures in the industry? And what do you see as a future for VRI?
I do want to preface this response that my exposure to VRI is limited, as we don't provide it directly and we work with vendors to resell it. With that being said, I have an exposure to about half a dozen vendors that provide it, and each one has a strength. So when you look at the offshore pressure, let's further break down VRI providers in what their focus is. Were they a sign language VRI provider first, and then providing other languages following? Or were they a spoken language VRI solution first, and then added American Sign Language? That makes a bit, in my opinion, it makes a significant difference, because you have, one, the technology around it. As we all know, the moment that you introduce motion into video, you increase the data that's being transmitted. And do these platforms support that data, that increase in data? Some do, some don't. Some do a great job of it regardless. But early on, many didn't. So in order to get the best solution, many times I would tell my clients, use one VRI provider for sign language and use another VRI provider for spoken language. So with that being said, the companies that are providing American Sign Language first are mostly U.S.-based. And you're not, by virtue of where their initial focus is, American Sign Language. When they are bringing on domestic spoken language interpreters into that mix. And all but one vendor that I've worked with are doing that from domestic interpreters. And they are still cost competitive, in my opinion, and from a resale standpoint, still cost competitive, and even in the marketplace, cost competitive. And these are well-known companies. Okay, many of these are doing this, are still not necessarily doing it in their own call center, but are allowing the interpreters the opportunity to do it from a home-based setup. And they provide them a kit to do it from a home-based setup.
So they give them the video camera, and how about the internet connection?
To that extent, I couldn't tell you, but I know they're providing their respective branding on the call. So when they're logged in for a particular vendor, they have that respective branding in some capacity, mm-hmm. whether it's a background behind them, or it's a t-shirt, or it's something to identify that linguist as that they are representing on behalf of that vendor. And so there are some that are using offshore interpreters. And I'll be honest with you, we're not working with those companies. I feel that the cost benefit by using someone offshore for VRI is minimal. And I'd rather work with someone that's domestic and a company that's domestic.
Come back next time for the remainder of my conversation with Seamus Syed, COO of Interpreters Unlimited and candidate for Congress in the 50th District. You'll hear us talk about interpreter certification, how government agencies work to keep prices low, and more. And remember, InterpreterEd.com has the training you need to get certified and maintain your certification. Our most recent CE program is a five-course series developed by well-known trainer Cindy Rote, covering dental terminology. The complete series includes 9 hours of credit and includes bilingual glossaries and professionally recorded audio role-play exercises to help you master the content. Learn more at InterpreterEd.com.